this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But hold your calls, please. We have with us Colonel Ron Ray. Colonel Ray is retired, a Marine colonel. He was actually assistant Secretary of Defense or assistant to Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration, or an Undersecretary of Defense. Which was it, assistant or undersecretary?
Well, the undersecretary covers all the waterfront below the secretary.
All right, fine. So you were an undersecretary then?
Yes.
All right, fine. And, of course, served there in Washington, D.C. with distinction for many years. But Colonel Ray is working now on the very coordinated, orchestrated effort to destroy the Christian foundation of the American military. Now, this country was founded under God, and irrespective of what the media tells you, what the universities tell you, even what many of our political leaders tell you, you need to only go back and read the founding documents of this country and the Supreme Court decisions over 100 years. They will tell you that this was a Christian nation. Now, if you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the foundations of its beliefs. And the beliefs of America were founded in Christianity. So they have been working within our seminaries, within our universities, within our halls of justice, and certainly within the legislature, little bit by little bit, of course, to destroy the very foundations and fabric of our society. But the most blatant now is what's happening at the military academy. So I'm going to let you pick up the story there, Colonel.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, Stan, I'm sure your listeners have paid close attention to what happened in San Francisco here within the last month when the Ninth Circuit, 2-1, struck down, the under God phrase that President Eisenhower added in during his administration to the Pledge of Allegiance. But I don't think what people really appreciate is then the very persistent and, as you say, subtle, a covert undermining the first principles of the American military, which come literally right out of the Bible. While we have wonderful principles in the military and they're still in place, they're fast being taken out. And if I could digress for a moment, 10 years ago, this coming Tuesday night, that is the August the 6th was the final wake-up call for me in Los Angeles when David Horowitz testified before the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Military and talked about how he and his fellow revolutionaries had basically undermined all the institutions in this country but the military, and that their goal there was to finish the job on the military that Vietnam didn't do, the long and protracted no-win war, which really did put the military in worse shape than most people realize, but that women in combat and open homosexuality would be used to basically destroy the first principles of virtue, honor, and patriotism, if you will, a military under God. And that's 10 years ago, and that's really when I woke up, because I looked around at my fellow Bush commissioners, and it was basically 8-7 at that time as far as women in combat aircraft were concerned, women in combat and ships. And I was the only one who appreciated or realized the significance of what David Horowitz was saying, and it didn't change the position of another commissioner. And these commissioners had been recommended by Dick Cheney and approved by President George Herbert Walker Bush. So
basically, then they stacked the commission with people who they knew they would vote to undermine the fabric of our military.
And you're really right. Dick Cheney's people, and of course, you know, Steve Herbert's a homosexual and a former whiskey lawyer for Brofman at Seagram's, but a closeted homosexual activist, was screening every appointee under Dick Cheney in the Pentagon of that Bush administration. His is Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, the official spokesman for the Department of Defense, Pete Williams, who's now on your nightly news, I think for NBC, also a homosexual, both of which were, shall we say, outed by their one on Fortune magazine's cover and the other on the cover of The Advocate during the Bush administration. But in any event, he put forward, Cheney's nominees or his staff put forth nominees to that commission that was like 13 or 14 were already in favor of women in combat, but the Bush White House put five of us on that knew there was a profound difference between men and women that had military significance, and we had a favorable outcome by prayer and action. But I learned that this plan went back a long way, and that these out of the notion of homosexuality in the military didn't start when Bill Clinton was inaugurated. The notion went way, way, way back to the 1960s, perhaps beyond that. And Horowitz's historic testimony is not very well known by many activists or constitutionalists, but its 10th anniversary is coming up next week, and I'll happen to be in Washington, D.C. But that's when I began. I wrote Military Necessity and Homosexuality about that revolution to kind of warn the military leadership what was coming in the Clinton administration. And those two issues have had me focus very intently on the biblical foundations of our military. For example, the second principle of the Navy was that the divine services would be held in the Continental Navy twice a day with a sermon once a week. I mean, that's been reaffirmed by Donald Rumsfeld on March the 16th. But one of the most covert attacks came last year when everybody was focusing a great deal of attention on what happened in New York and Northern Virginia when the Pentagon was attacked. The ACLU sued a small but prestigious a military institute in Virginia, the Virginia Military Institute. It's 6 years older than the Naval Academy. And, of course, they've gone through, like the Citadel did, a 6 or 7 year battle against Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the U.S. Supreme Court to force women into the service academy, into those two academies. And they picked them out to attack prayer. The ACLU sued, and in January, a district judge ordered that prayer, the daily prayer at VMI, be removed. Immediately, politically correct lawyers in the service academies have begun to look at the legality of prayer in the service academies. Now, when I was growing up, Stan, the notion of something that was truly hopeless, you would say, it doesn't have a prayer.
All right, we'll be right back here in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray. Let me just comment that the decision that the Supreme Court laid down in 1892, holding that this was a Christian country and giving some 86 or 87 reasons why, we've actually included that in our Millennium Summit syllabus, along with so much other information that will help you to understand that there is a coordinated plan to destroy America. And it's being coordinated by people like Mikhail Gorbachev, who is working very closely with Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, and, of course, with Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, who is really the man who runs the United Nations. They're all working together to create a new world order and a new world spirituality, and that, of course, means you're going to have to destroy Christianity. You need to get our syllabuses called Sustainable Development and the Millennium Summit syllabus. They're two separate syllabuses, but it will give you the information you need to reach others, and you get them by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you get the syllabus, you can either get the video or a four-tape set at a very marked reduced price, or you can get them both at a reduced price, for that matter, both a video and a four-tape set. You need to get the information and then help us to get it out across America. And then, of course, let me just briefly mention that we carry something called Phonopoly. It's a program to teach children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's much less expensive than most programs. It's called Phonopoly. It's played like Monopoly, but designed to teach children how to actually think phonetically. And then we, of course, have the Robinson homeschool curriculum. Take your children from kindergarten to graduation for $199.95. The only books you have to buy are the Saxon textbooks. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. This is a fascinating four-tape set.
genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray. And Colonel Ray, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, it's a good day to be doing this, Stan, because this is the 200th anniversary of the famous Thomas Jefferson letter in 1802. He wrote to the Danbury Baptists, in which he used the phrase, the separation of church and state, which was used by the Supreme Court beginning in the 40s to absolutely turn the First Amendment upside down, and then began to take out many of the practices and principles upon which this country was founded. 40 years ago, in 1962, Engle versus Vitale was decided 6-3 by the Supreme Court, which took the common practice of over 300 years of prayer in common and public schools, was held to be suddenly unconstitutional after 300 years.
But, Colonel, why is it unconstitutional in schools, but it's constitutional in the Congress, it's constitutional in the Senate? In fact, the Supreme Court opens every day, and I believe what the choir says is, God bless the United States and this court.
Well, there's no question that there are still, we still have the, shall we say, we're running on empty, but we still have the fumes of the one nation under God that we had prior to the stock market crash, prior to the events that you have so well informed your listeners about throughout the 20th century. But really, it was after World War II that they turned the First Amendment against the states and the people. When Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Think about that. Congress, it's clear. It says Congress shall make no law. It was clearly as a restriction on Congress. But they used a legal double talk, and it's been taught in the schools now for over 40 years. As D. James Kennedy has told me on a number of occasions, every lawyer graduating from an American law school in the last 40 years thinks like an ACLU lawyer. They all believe laws change, and the only difference is the conservative lawyers believe that change occurs slowly, and the radical lawyers believe that change should occur more quickly. And that's the problem, because these cases are often defended on the wrong ground by so-called leading religious right lawyers. They defend where the ACLU attacks on the religion clauses, and the reason I've spent so much time and energy in defending these first principles in the military is the military is subject to different rules. That's called military necessity. It's a society governed apart. The Congress and the President, as Commander-in-Chief, have all the authority over the military. The judiciary has none. And the judiciary, as revolutionary as they've been, government by judiciary, as Raoul Berger called it, the judicial tyranny, as a scholar named Kilgore called it, but the place they have tread the least, they have deferred to what it takes to provide for the common defense, as the preamble says. The judges, including Supreme Court judges, have generally always deferred to America's military authorities as to what it takes to fight and win the nation's wars, to provide for a common defense. And what really troubled me was that the ACLU's arguments were accepted by a district judge in Lynchburg, but the Attorney General, who was defending VMI, it's a state-supported military institute, and it should have been governed by military standards. It's compulsory ROTC. It's a very rigorous, George Patton went there for a year, General Chesty Puller went there for a year, George Marshall graduated, their most distinguished graduate, Stonewall Jackson is a former professor at VMI. It's got a very distinguished background, but they defended on the free exercise clause. In other words, the fight was over the religion clauses and whether two people and two two cadets, and the ACLU could transform a practice of over 163 years. And the judge said yes, but they did not defend it on our history. And what I did in a friend of court brief, it's on appeal to the Fourth Circuit now, but this could affect prayer throughout our military, certainly throughout the service academies. They're reviewing them as we speak, and there's virtually no attention being paid to this. I took prayer all the way back to 1775, looked at every inaugural address from Washington to George W. Bush, and the recognition of God by our commanders in the military, including the commander-in-chief, particularly in times of national peril, is unbroken from 1775 to the present time. So the notion that at this time of so-called national crisis, when we have the so-called war on terrorism, that the notion that the ACLU could be successful against this one school, state-supported Military Institute Virginia, which could be a precedent that could be applied against. We have daily prayer on every aircraft carrier in the United States Navy. This precedent could be used to take prayer out of all the other service academies, and then be a precedent that could be used to challenge prayer throughout the military. You know a lot about our friend George Marshall, who was a first cadet at VMI, who was Secretary of Defense and General during World War II, Secretary of State, Nobel Prize winner. But even George Marshall said that he looked upon the spiritual life of the soldier as more important than the soldier's physical equipment. And he talked about prayer, and we have identified 67 prayer books that have been distributed to American forces from 1775 right to the present hour. And prayers have been offered by all of the leaders, all of the five-star admirals and generals. Some of them, you would stun you how strong these prayers are. Even Franklin Roosevelt's prayer before the D-Day landing at Normandy was read over the ship loudspeaker to the invasion force throughout the fleet. And the notion now that our military, beginning with this small school in Virginia, may lose the ability to pray is absurd, un-American, and it needs to be stopped.
Well, of course, you know, men will not fight unless they have something to fight for. Unless you want a totally mercenary army or just a group of killers. But people have to believe, and they have to believe that their cause is righteous. And men have fought for God throughout the world. Sometimes this has been misused, admittedly. Sometimes a wicked, even evil people will use God. But the foundations of America and our freedom rested upon the Christian principles of Christianity. And as it was said in 2 Chronicles 3, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Precisely, and that's recognized. I mean, Washington, just a few days after the Declaration of Independence was signed, in his orderly book, said this: the blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, but especially so in times of public distress and danger. The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. And that comes down unbroken in May 3 this year, or last year at the National Day of Prayer. This is what George W. Bush said: our country was founded by a great and wise people who were fluent in the language of humility, praise, and petition. Throughout our history, in danger and division, we have always turned to prayer. And our country has been delivered from many serious evils and wrongs because of those prayers. Now, what we did is just basically show approximately 80 or 90 of the leading admirals and generals in this country spread throughout our history. We've used the very prayers that they prayed. For example, Omar Bradley used the cadet prayer he learned at West Point throughout his career, rising up to be a five-star general and chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So what's really happening is this is, you know, everybody's waving a little red, white, and blue flags, and they're talking about United We Stand, and covertly and quietly and insidiously, the domestic enemies of the Constitution and our way of life are at work and being successful over in Virginia, which could have enormous implications on a military that, if it doesn't have a prayer, will find itself often in hopeless circumstances.
Well, of course, the important thing to understand is that these people hate God. I mean, these people are not simply concerned about freedom. I mean, you know, of course, if somebody, a Christian child, is offended by teaching homosexuality, you're told, well, you know, certainly we have to do this. It's for the good of society. But, of course, if an atheist is concerned about a prayer in school, why, of course, he can change the entire thrust of society. This is garbage. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. They have a double standard, and behind the ACLU really is an anti-Christian lawyers union. This is what it's all about. Its purpose is to destroy the religious foundations of this country, and they're succeeding. The church refuses to speak out. It's become so spineless. The ministers, oh, we wouldn't want to offend anybody or be political. And that's why great societies fail.
Well,
that's because the
this.
Men of God will not stand for righteousness.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Stan, and you said that really eloquently. I would simply say that the saddest thing here is what I learned during the battle over women in combat, which was fundamental to undermining uniformity, subordination, and virtue or morality, which are the three principles upon which our military rests, the same way with homosexuality. But what we see is, time after time, I've looked at this now for 12 years and been involved in this, time after time, lawyers have come forward from the Justice Department, the White House, the academies, the military departments, or from the pro-family and religious right, and they have either been totally misinformed, or they've attempted to defend the military where the ACLU was attacking instead of on the grounds of military standards that go back to our founding period.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take another break, and when we get back, of course, we'll have Colonel Ray tell you how to get in touch with First Principles, his organization, and, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to mention a couple of things that you could do to help us. One of them would be to change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision, and when you do, why, of course, why 15% of your long-distance charges come to us. The number is 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. The prices at Promise Vision for long-distance calls are very comparable. The service is excellent. When you call, you get a live human being. Just try calling AT&T or MCI or one of the others and for a live human being. Under any circumstances, call 866-448-5631. Change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision, and, of course, it will help Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we want to mention that we actually carry Miracle 2 soap products here. We think it's excellent soap, and lots of people feel that it's helped them in many, many ways. We make no medical claims for it. We can only tell you that many of the people who use the products are very happy with them. And again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And then remember, of course, we carry the Robinson curriculum, homeschooling curriculum, that'll take your child from first grade all the way up to graduation from high school. It's a program. It's on 22 CDs. You pull them down. You don't have the child on the computer. You print up the tests and the various lesson programs and the textbooks, and then, of course, they begin studying on their own. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The product is called the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. You won't be sorry that you have it, and your children will get a superb education.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this afternoon, Colonel Ron Ray. We're talking about the organized effort to destroy the Christian Foundation of America, and now, of course, as it spreads into the military. And believe me, these ideas that men will fight for, things like duty, honor, and country, have traditionally been involved with our Christian heritage, our Christian beliefs. But these are to be changed because the military is to be used, I fear, in the very near future. To be used not against an enemy overseas, but the enemy at home. And that enemy, of course, is the American people who don't want to go along with the New World Order and the New World Religion and hang on to those outmoded beliefs of Christianity and God and country.
You know, but Stan, everything you say is so true, but I think the stunning thing for me looking at the military is that the authorities, history is unbroken, and it's not asserted. When we put forward, when somebody who claims to be an advocate on our behalf in these different forums, they don't fight on the strong ground. They go over here and fight on this ground where the court can do whatever it wants, conceding that a wrong standard applies. It's the professional judgment of the senior American commanders from 1775 to the present that the crucial importance of prayer, I'm talking about public and official prayer, to the morale and well-being of the U.S. Armed Forces, it's unbroken, and the strength with which that's held stunned me. As much as I've looked at this, and I took my first oath in August of 1960, so for almost 42 years, I've been involved in providing for our common defense from the private level all the way up to the 3- and 4-star level, and every commander in chief in his inaugural address, including Bill Clinton, acknowledge the existence of God as creator. His divine protection and prayers for his protection are offered during those inaugurations, from George Washington in 1789 to George W. Bush in 2001. At every pivotal point where there's been danger in this country, we are particularly given to public and official prayer. From the birth of America, the War of 1812, the war between the states, the Newmarket cadets, at Newmarket, the VMI cadets actually went into combat. 10 of their number died, and prayer preceded their four-day march up to Newmarket when they were committed as boys into battle. World War I, World War II, the current public military prayers are there, and here we are. I see this happening over and over again, where the best authorities, if they were known and put forward, we would prevail. This is an issue that should be won, and we find ourselves losing.
Well, I hate to say this, Colonel, but I really believe that the conservative movement certainly has been infiltrated, and some of the leading conservative spokesmen who are professed to be battling for our legal rights, you'll see them saying, oh, we've got to get through this Office of Homeland Security, which is really a blueprint for a federal police force. Oh, we want every Christian to write to the senator and congressman to back this effort to have the Office of Homeland Security. And when you see people doing that, you wonder, are they incredibly stupid or are they really on the other side? And I will tell you that since I have a list of CIA assets, 4,000 of them, some of the leaders of the conservative movement are considered by the CIA as CIA assets. Well, let's quickly get out the number of first principles, how people can get in touch with you, and then we'll go to Roger, who's calling in from Allentown.
Well, if you're interested in this historic information, which has been submitted to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, I've got a printed brief with an extensive historical appendix in it that was prepared in consultation with Admiral Tom Moore and Vice Admiral Jerry Miller and Admiral Mark Hill, and I know you know those great men, the Naval Aviation Foundation, the Coalition for American Veterans. If you'd like a copy of this brief, contact me at at the Coalition of American Veterans or First Principles Press, and just send $10 and as a donation, and I'll send you the brief and some background materials on the assault on our armed forces. And it's at Post Office Box 1136, P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky, 40014. 40014, that's P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky, 40014. And I think that the history in this will be very important to you, because I find, sadly, Stan, the lawyers and the pastors probably know less about America and its biblical foundations, about law and civil government, than the regular citizens in our society do.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, let's go to Roger, who's been hanging on patiently. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, John. And if you please, I'd like to ask two trial law questions, the second one military. I take it you have experience, Colonel Ray, as a civilian attorney as well?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now I heard Joel Skousen just in the last couple of weeks mention that he's heard of at least one case, presumably, where they're now screening out jurors on the basis of their being fully informed jurors. I don't know if it's preemptorily or otherwise. Did you have any insight on that?
Well, there's a strong movement of people that Stan and I both know that are going out and trying to get the American citizens to understand their rights as jurors, as Americans, are the final check and balance on the wrongful enforcement of a good law, or the enforcement of a bad law that they can nullify, the jury nullification movement. But I thought you were about to say that maybe they were going to start trying to screen out veterans from the jury, but I don't know the specifics about it. I simply know that most Americans in the last 50 years, in fact, I have a report that many people would like to see, that Eisenhower got after the poor performance of our POWs during the Korean War that led to the Code of Conduct and had something to do with Under God being added to the Pledge of Allegiance, was to the fact that our soldiers and many of those in captivity couldn't stand up to the communist interrogators because they didn't really understand the differences between our constitutional republic, one nation under God, and the communist system, and they really didn't know what they were fighting for.
I had earlier heard about screening out jurors on the basis of their being Christians.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet. I think they'd have a pretty hard time doing that today, perhaps not before long, because, of course, everything is being done through the television and the movies to make Christians look like extremists. In fact, as we know, anybody who hasn't seen that FBI flyer that was circulated in Phoenix, go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you'll see that the FBI considers people who talk about the Constitution terrorist people, a doomsdayer, and if you are a doomsday prophet, it means that you think these are the latter days. I know, because a man professing to be from the FBI called me from Oklahoma City and asked me a government agent asked me, do you believe these are the last days? Why would they do that? Well, of course, that's how you can tell when you got a real terrorist on the line. We're going to let the people in from the terrorist countries, but we've got to be concerned about people who have these crazy Christian ideas. Okay, anything else, Roger?
Well, before I get to the second question, what is there to prevent attorneys from giving questionnaires to the jurors loaded with Christian sifting questions?
Well, the judge is supposed to oversee what's called voir dire. In other words, both sides get a chance to ask questions of jurors depending on the nature of the trial, and whether it's a civil trial or criminal trial. I mean, do you have anybody in your, it's an automobile accident case, has anybody in your family ever been involved in an accident? Is any, the kinds of questions that are to get at what are obvious biases and disqualifying. There's so many peremptory challenges, and there's so many unlimited challenges for cause. The judge rules on it, so the questions like that. But there's no question that if you look at the jury nullification movement, and their materials are out there, there's some people working very hard to try to inform citizens of their duty to nullify improper activity, to acquit if it's a bad law and it's been wrongly applied. They can actually acquit somebody, and they have a duty to do that as the final check and balance by we the people in the litigation process.
Okay, fine. Anything else?
So the judge is supposed to be able to check the attorneys from submitting Christian sifting questions?
It on the face of that, do I think that questions could be asked us in a subtle way that might be able to identify those? I'm not familiar with anybody that's gone public with the thought that there's been a Christian sifting pattern. But do I think it's possible? I know that in a capital case, I believe it was in Ohio very recently, in a capital case, the prosecutor in the closing argument mentioned the Ten Commandments, so thou shalt not commit murder, and the clear and convincing evidence, the guy was convicted, and the appellate court overturned it because of the biblical reference.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Roger. Okay. Let's go to Jeannie calling from Capitola. Hi, Jeannie.
Good afternoon. I have a question for Colonel Ray. There was a disturbing newspaper article I have just read, and there are four Army wives at Fort Bragg that were killed just recently in the last 6 weeks by their husbands. And these were Army Special Operations men, and they had just returned from Afghanistan. Do you have any insight what's happening to our Special Forces men?
I hadn't heard that story. Could you send me a copy of that, Jeannie?
I would. I hadn't heard the story either. I do know that the quality of I read something about 5 years ago in a professional magazine that Special Forces, Special Operations was a very well trained, technically trained people looking for a philosophy. Was the thrust of the article. And I mean, we've got some of the best trained people in the world in terms of that quality of training. But the notion of being understanding your oath, which even Donald Rumsfeld called a sacred oath, understanding that you're only supposed to follow lawful orders, it bothered me to see an expression so clearly stated that they didn't have a philosophy. I mean, in other words, the notion that our very best trained soldiers who seemed to be adrift in terms of, well, look, Don Rumsfeld, said this year that people don't know the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and on Liberty Day, he put a website up on the DOD official website and called upon commanders to be sure their people, know the Constitution they take an oath to uphold. He even pointed to the first principles of the Navy and the Army as an example, including the one that divine services were held twice a day. I thought it was a very, very positive signal to those of us who care about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. But all I can say to you is they are very well trained in terms of technical skills. The question is, where is their allegiance? In the era of dual citizenship, in the era of 40 or 50 years since we've seen the armed forces really teach people about the Declaration and Americanism and the Constitution, I'm concerned about what principles and, if you will, what's the overriding philosophy of some of our best-trained people, and I certainly think that's questionable.
Jeannie, if you'd like to hang on until after the break.
No, that's fine, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back here with Colonel Ray. When we get back, we'll invite your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out across America who listen to our programs, who believe there's a problem and would like to help us reach others, perhaps even bring them to an understanding of the true nature of the battle in which we're engaged. Now, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. 5 hours every day, two programs on the weekends, what we do because, after all, if we lose America, do you really think that your 401k, your IRA, your home, your sport car, your summer home, do you really think you're going to have any of these? When freedom fails, good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry appease are often hanged by those they hope to please. And ladies and gentlemen, freedom is lost when good people aren't involved. Here you can be involved with us. You may not be able to be on the radio 5 hours a day, but you can help me do what I do. And so give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for our leaders. And we ask you, of course, to tell people about our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's www.RadioLiberty.com. They can pull down our newsletters. They can find out about the dangerous viruses that have been in the vaccines that have been given to Americans in the past, and the government is lying, and now they want us to take another vaccine. And, of course, how do we know this one is safe either? If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter and you haven't had one in the past, call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, and if you'd like to get in touch with him, the address is Post Office Box 1136. That's Post Office Box 1136 in Crestwood, Kentucky, and that zip code is 40114. Now, apropos of Jeannie's last question, you know, special forces men are highly trained. They're trained to kill. That's what they do. And, of course, you need in wartime, wartime is a terrible thing, but you need people who are will be effective in the defense of their country. But what happens when you take away their belief in God? What happens when they no longer have anything to believe in other than, well, what they've been trained to do? And I think that we face terrible, terrible times because you actually take God out of a society, and then you train men to kill, and you wonder why they do what they're trained to do. We have a wonderful video, and if you haven't seen it, it's a fiction, but it goes into the fact that there are elements within our government, and this is true, that have been tapping into the occult to use this power, of course, to increase our military preparedness, our military ability. It's called Deceived, and if you haven't seen it, we have it both in video and in DVD form. It's called Deceived. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, or ask for that video. It's a gripping, it's got Luke Gossett Jr., got a great cast of characters, good Christian message, but also pointing out that certain people within the military have tapped into the power of the dark side. Again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for that video. I'll tell you what, it's one of the finest videos, one of the finest Christian videos I've ever seen. Let's go to Steve calling in from Salinas. Hi, Steve. Question or comment?
Good afternoon. Two questions, please. I'd like to ask Colonel Ray what he thinks the repercussions will be from the recent executive orders signed by President Bush diminishing the qualifications of foreigners serving in the military to become citizens. I know he's changed the qualifications.
Made it easier to become citizens if you're in the military, is that it?
Yes. Well, it's been, I don't know the specifics. Let me just, when I was on active duty during the Vietnam War, there were a couple of Irishmen in the from Ireland. They were not naturalized citizens, and their honorable service of 4 years in the Marine Corps
they would be naturalized as citizens was the practice. I'm aware of that from my personal experience. I've never looked at the law, the history, or what the change of standards, but that was a way in which you could have, if you will, fast-track your ability to become a United States citizen by taking an oath and going in and serving in the military. And if you got an honorable discharge, you were essentially able to become a citizen.
Now, Steve, have they changed the laws recently? You'll have to send us something on that.
Yes, last week, actually, executive order.
And, what actually happened?
I know they changed the time limit, and I'm not sure what else.
All right, fine. Well, see if you can track it down and get us the information. Did you have another question?
Yeah, just one thing. Is Colonel Ray familiar with the exercise right now in Reno with the 13,000 federal troops and the UN troops doing door-to-door searches?
Are you familiar with that, Stan?
I'm not either. I've heard about it.
For 10 years, I've been looking at the blurring of the distinction between the Army and the military. The military and the police. And we've been seeing the police operating more and more like the military, and we've seen the military increasingly operating in the police function. And when I went into the Dominican Republic as a young officer in 1965, at the orders of Lyndon Johnson, one of the things we did was cordon off the sections of the city, and we began to search cars looking for weapons. It was supposed to be some sort of a rebel uprising down there, and it looks back, and historically I'm not sure whose side we were on and exactly what it was all about. But Johnson literally believed that the embassy was under attack. That's why we were brought in there. But there's no question that's been going on. Stan and I have done writing, and I've done a lot of work and have written articles about the mainstream press of the increasing use of the military in a civilian police role, and that's essentially moving you towards a martial law. And obviously it's unconstitutional, and it's an un-American practice. Although in insurrection, there have been times in our history where the military has been used to quell invasion, insurrection, and when it gets beyond what local authorities can handle. Certainly they put U.S. Marines on the streets in the city of Los Angeles during the Rodney King riots. I was concerned about that they selected Marines. You know, that's really a National Guard, a California Guard function. But we're seeing a breakdown of things that Americans have understood. Posse Comitatus is a constitutional principle. Most Americans don't know. They know the word posse from the cowboy movies they saw when they were kids growing up, you know, that you could get citizens to function in the posse. But posse comitatus is a constitutional principle that American military will not be used against American citizens. There was actually a series of statutes passed after Reconstruction, 1870s, 1880s, and thankfully one of the real legal experts on posse comitatus happens to be in the Department of Defense at the present time. Certainly at when this is discussed, we'll have some knowledgeable people to be able to talk about what its origin is and why no exception should be made to it.
Well, of course, there is a very definite effort now to do just exactly that, because, of course, in the name of fighting terrorism, we really need to be able to use the military in America, and there really is an effort to do that. And the other thing is that, of course, for the president to be able to mobilize the National Guard for use in America. Ordinarily, the National Guard was, you know, it was like the State Guard, and it could only be called up, you know, to use overseas. But increasingly, in fact, one of the new stipulations is to use the National Guard here under federal control, not under state control, under federal control against the American people.
It actually became the National Guard, stand during the Roosevelt administration.
Right.
It used to simply be the California State Guard.
Right.
And then they became the National Guard, the National Guard in the 30s under Roosevelt. So
right. Okay, fine. Anything else, Steve?
No, thank you so very much.
Thank you so. But freedom is under attack today. Well, let's go. Roger has one more question. Roger, you have another question?
Yes, thank you. Do I take it that the Michael New case is still in judicial limbo, and is there any way to force a faster process so it's not tied up in the courts for years?
I'm not the best authority on that. I represented Michael for 1 year while he was on active duty in the United States Army, and when he was discharged, you know, he got involved in third-party politics and other things, and we parted company in August of 1996. So I do believe that the military, they've exhausted the military appeals, which were unsuccessful in the first round in the federal civilian courts, were exhausted and were unsuccessful, and I do not know where the thing stands currently. There may have been another petition to the Supreme Court to hear the appeal from the Court of Military Appeals, which is the highest court in the military.
Okay.
Well, I assumed it went to a civilian court once he exhausted the military avenue, and that's where it's been sitting in limbo.
Not exactly. We actually sued the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Army. I made a bad selection of civilian lawyers to do that. There are arguments that should have, but we actually asked for a stay of the court-martial for very good reasons, constitutional and legal reasons, a stay of the court-martial, and that was overturned by a Clinton-appointed judge and denied, and then it went on up, and they basically said just what you said. Okay, come back and see us and start over in the civilian courts when you've exhausted your military remedies. But the military tribunal in Germany was really a kangaroo court. They would not consider overwhelming evidence that was available that this was an illegal order in direct conflict with not only the United Nations Charter but the Constitution and existing laws and things as simple as regulations on the uniform. In other words, no foreign badges shall be worn in the battle dress uniform. The judge ordered none of that could be admitted, and basically ordered the jury to find a critical element in a criminal case. It took away our defense. But the jury realized something was up. These were really fine soldiers on the jury, staff NCOs and senior officers, and they, while they did convict him of disobeying a lawful order, because they were ordered to find it lawful, but they gave him no jail time, and the prosecutor who had withheld evidence, the prosecutor was thwarted in his attempt to make an example out of Michael New and send him into a hard labor in one of the tough German-American military prisons over there.
Okay, thanks so much, Roger. Right now, of course, we're just about out of time. Colonel, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
I give them Thomas Jefferson, you know, supposedly the least Christian of our founding fathers, third president of the United States. He said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the American people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath."
And I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. Those are the appendum to that statement engraved there on the marble of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. And it's amazing we never teach that in school today. Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Colonel. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks very much, Stan. It's always a privilege to be on with you, and I enjoyed it and look forward to another time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. That was Colonel Ron Ray, a former Undersecretary of Defense in the Reagan administration and one of the great champions of the cause of Christian America. But, of course, why don't our churches speak out? Why don't our politicians speak out? Why, they're all afraid. And, of course, the people who are afraid to stand up for liberty will certainly lose it. Well, this is the time when we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, because there are good men there, but so many of them are so cowardly. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this battle, because it's truly a spiritual battle. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then we ask you to certainly pray that for revival in this country, because if the American people don't turn back to God, then God will turn against this country forever. And lastly, we ask you to remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Okay, we'll see you on Wednesday.